third meditation is from John chapter 19, verse 26 through 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Now, when I was first asked to give a meditation today, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't really want to do it. Just due to some personal things that were going on, just didn't want something else added to my plate. And I took my concerns to Father Looker, and he did that whole priestly encouraging thing and reminded me of what a blessing it is to be a part of this service. And so I agreed and started to look at this or these verses. As I looked at these verses, I was really starting to wish that he would have just let me off the hook. Yeah. So I had no idea what to do with it, and I don't know if it's a seminarian thing with Brandon struggling too, but you know, I had a hard time getting past just a superficial interpretation of Jesus wanted his mother cared for by his disciple. But, you know, I'm really glad I had the opportunity to press into these verses, because the more I looked into it, the more I prayed and meditated on it, I saw the promise of new life just in these two verses. I saw a promise of salvation in these two verses. And so I'm hoping that through this, that you guys will be able to see what I saw in these verses by the end of it. So the first thing I typically do when I'm studying scripture is I try to place myself in the scene, try to figure out what was going on at that time. And that was something that was recommended to me a while back when I'm studying, and it's really seemed to help me when looking in a little deeper into scriptures. And I couldn't help but take my mind off of Mary and what she was doing at that time. You know, she was witnessing her son suffer and die one of the most horrific deaths you could imagine. And I started thinking about how I would respond to that. What if it was one of my children suffering in a manner so severe? And I know I would be distraught and crying. I don't know if I could even look at it. And so when I pictured Mary in this scene, I pictured her weeping. And I pictured her with her head down, maybe occasionally looking up just to affirm her presence there for her son. But she had a hard time lifting her head to see her son go through what he was going through. And when it states in the scripture, it says, "Woman, behold your son," I don't think her first instinct was to look at that disciple. I think she looked up at her son. And I think there was a point of acknowledgement there. For her and for us, recognizing what's transpiring there. That a promise is being fulfilled at that moment. And there's a new relationship being established. And we can see that relationship clearly with this is your son and this is your mother. But I began to wonder why did they refer to Mary? Why is it written woman instead of Jesus addressing her as mother or Mary? And why do we not know who the disciple is? You know, some people think that the beloved disciple was James, the brother. It's an obvious connection. There's others that think that the beloved disciple was John. But you know, as I was studying this and reading up on it, there's some people that think it's written in this manner because it's supposed to be a depiction of what we're called to be. And so when you see this relationship being established, it's not just those two individuals. It's for all of us. A new relationship for mankind is being established right here. I was brought back to the story of Abraham and his two sons. One was born of the slave, and the other born of Sarah, his wife, the promised child, Isaac. And the son of the slave, Hagar, he mocked Isaac. And Sarah didn't want the son of Hagar to be around anymore. And this troubled Abraham. And he took it to God. And God simply said, let them go. That your offspring through Isaac will be reckoned. And then if you fast forward into the New Testament and look at Paul's letters to Galatians, in chapter 4, he brings this story back up. He tells the story, and then he goes on to say, now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of a promise. At that time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. Paul makes this connection to remind us that we have been reckoned with Christ. We have been reconciled through Christ. We're not bound to the slavery of sin anymore. We are now born of the free woman. And so when you look at what's transpiring, you have Jesus, who, as Brandon said earlier, is referred to as the new Adam. And you have Mary, who's often referred to as the new Eve. You're seeing the new covenant being established. And so, look at those words. Behold your son, and behold your mother. If this disciple is the son of Mary, that makes him kin with Christ. And if we're called to be a beloved disciple, we are called to that same family. This is affirmed earlier in that chapter 4 of Paul's writings to the Galatians. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. We are heirs to the heavenly kingdom. Now, what really kind of stuck out to me after that, if that isn't enough, it's very subtle, but the verse finishes out, and from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. We're called to more than just acknowledge that we're in that relationship. We are called to take action and accept it. We're called to respond to what he set forward as part of the family. And that just did it for me. That just sealed up those verses. So my question for myself and for you guys is, do you fully understand and acknowledge what Christ did on the cross? What that means for us and our future in the kingdom? That we are in kinship with Christ. And what has your response been to that call into the family?